over to the third chapter of the book of Galatians. And let's do some reading here. Open your Bible up there. I want you to read with me. If you didn't bring your Bible, look on there with someone else. I want you to see it. I want your eyes to see it and your ears to hear it. Verse 6, Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now, I want to clarify something right here. We read last night where Abraham went to God and God told him, so shall thy seed be, and he gave him promise, and he said, how shall I know? And God cut the covenant with him and walked in blood with him. And standing in that blood, God said, so shall thy seed be. Made covenant with the man. Settle forever. Settling forever. The answer to spiritual death. The answer to sickness and disease. The answer to poverty. The curse of sin that had come on the earth. Now, I want you to know something here. I want you to see through something here. The word blessing is a Bible word. I dare say that if it were not for the Bible, the languages of the world probably would have long since dropped the use of the word bless. We've almost dropped it now. It's become a religious word and nobody really understands what it means. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. What did God mean when Jesus said that? I mean, what did he mean when he said that? Blessed are you. What did God mean when he said, in blessing I will bless you? Then he used the word multiply in direct connection with the word blessing. The word to bless is a covenant word. It's used. Its main usage is in covenant relationship. When you enter covenant with someone, particularly if that someone has more assets than you do, they are stronger than you are, or if you enter into the kind of covenant we talked about last night that God has entered into, it's just totally one-sided. We were totally, absolutely beyond repair. We were beyond hope. We were spiritually bankrupt beyond all understanding, and here is God who is everything, and he comes in and says, I make my covenant with you, as if we had anything to offer to that covenant relationship. And he comes in and he takes our sin clothes off of us and puts his righteousness clothes on us and puts our sin coat on himself and bore our sins and carried our diseases. My Lord God. But he did it, did he not? Yes, he did. Now that word bless comes in right there. We're a blessed people. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. You remember that situation with Jesus where he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you're blessed. Blessed art thou. You're blessed. Now what does that mean? The word bless, the best way that I know to describe it with English words is to empower one to prosper. To be blessed spiritually would be empowered to prosper spiritually. Now, what does it mean to prosper? To prosper means to excel in something desirable that's good. Well, now, that prosperity then would be defined according to your own definition. This depends on what's desirable to you. To excel in something desirable, something that's good. Well, now, some guy may think something's good. I mean, there's some guys that think he was really prosperous if he uncovered 200 cases of Jack Daniels somewhere. He'd think, boy, look what I got. The poor dumb sucker'd probably try to drink it all. That's not prosperous, but in his mind it would be because he desires that. See, he'd kill himself on it. But to his way of thinking, that's prosperous. That's excelling in something that he terms as good. Well, Bible prosperity then, which is something we have to determine, Bible prosperity then would be empowered to prosper or to excel. Let's put it all together. Blessed to prosper would be empowered to prosper, to excel in things that God says are good. Things that are desirable to the Holy Ghost. Whew. So then to be blessed spiritually would be to empower me to become born again. I couldn't be born again on my own. I don't have that power. Nobody had that power. God had to do it first. He came into covenant with man. And that's one of the promises He promised him. He empowered you and me to prosper. And that empowering in the promises of the covenant, that He had promised, raised Jesus from the dead. He became the firstborn of the new covenant. Hallelujah. Isaac was the firstborn of the old blood covenant, and Jesus the firstborn of the new one. Glory be to God. He empowered him to prosper over death. Isn't that true? He excelled in life. He was empowered to prosper. So what was he? He was blessed. Now, what did Jesus say to Peter? Peter, you have become empowered to prosper because this was revealed to you by flesh and blood. You've received power. You've been empowered to prosper. Blessed. Okay, does that make sense to you? As a covenant word, it means to be empowered to prosper. Now, God told Abraham, I love this, brother. I'm telling you, I just get running happy over this. God said, you know, those that bless you, I'll bless them. Those that cause you to prosper, I'll empower them to prosper more. And the more they prosper you, I'll empower them to prosper more. And those that curse you. Now, could you get an idea from that what the word curse means? It's a covenant word. If it was not for covenant relationship, that word wouldn't mean anything. Its true meaning, to curse, is to empower to fail. I mean, brother, just can't help but fail. Well, you're cursed. To empower to fail. Well, on one side, you're empowered to prosper, to excel in the desirable things. So if you were empowered to prosper spiritually, you would have been empowered through your connection with God to be born again. You would be empowered to be able to receive His Spirit and for Him to come and dwell on the inside of you. You would be empowered to pray in tongues, empowered to interpret. Oh, those are spiritual blessings, are they not? That's walking in the realm of the Spirit. Empowered with faith. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I mean, that's covenant blessings. Well, then, not on the other hand, He said, those that curse you, I'll curse. Those that cause you to fail, I'll cause them to fail. In other words, their failure will be so great that they can't have any effect on you. Now, listen to that. See, those that are prospering Abraham, then God is causing them to prosper so that they can continue to prosper Abraham, and that causes them to continue to prosper more. It fosters and builds and enforces what God wanted to do in the first place, which was bless this planet. He told Adam, He blessed Adam and Eve and told them to multiply. Well, they weren't Adam and Eve, they were Adam. He called her Eve. God didn't have anything to do with that. When God said Adam, they both came. They were in agreement. So, God then by having this covenant partner, if you bless him, you empower him to prosper, I empower you to prosper. And by empowering you to prosper, you empowered him to prosper. And then when you empowered him to prosper, that opens the door for me to empower you to prosper. And then you empower him to prosper. And when you do that, lets me empower you to prosper. That, this thing just goes over. That's the way God is. You remember, he's the author of the seed. He's the one that came up with the idea, let's make a seed about this big and make 92 billion of them. Throw them all out there and let them grow and have a 100-fold return on each one of those. Boy, ain't no end to this. It just keep just blessing and blessing and blessing. He doesn't have to get up every morning about 3 o'clock and say, let there be light. See? Seed, plant, harvest perpetuates itself forever. That's the way God is. He's a forever kind of a guy. Amen. Well, on the other hand, that curse is the same way. You curse him, I'll curse you. I have to. I've got to stop you. I'm in covenant with him. I've promised him me. I've promised him to prosper. And when you start trying to keep him from prospering, I'm going to have to keep you from prospering because I got to shut you up. Now listen, you got to know God's attitude in this because if you don't, you miss something here that we're going to dig into in a minute in the Word. He's not stopping that person from prospering because he doesn't like them or because he doesn't love them. He has to because he's in covenant. Now, I want you to remember this. Remember we talked last night about what a solemn thing it is to go into covenant that you're completely, totally, forever giving yourself to someone else? God has totally and completely, forever given himself away to man. And any man that will receive him, any woman that will receive him, he's yours forever. And everything he has is yours forever. You're his and he's yours and it's just better and better and better and better. God is forever, totally, completely, absolutely, can never dissolve or in any form or way ever remove one jot or one tittle of his covenant promise to you, to Abraham, to Jesus. He is forever, ever, ever, ever totally, completely connected to his people. God doesn't not love anybody. He's bound to that covenant. The Bible says even the covenant of man, if it's confirmed, cannot be disannulled or taken away from or added to. So, when someone makes the decision to come against God's covenant family, then God's decision is already made. Did you ever wonder why he kept hardening Pharaoh's heart? You remember? I mean, he says, you go do this, you go do that. And he'll harden, his heart will be hardened. Well, now for a number of years, for approximately 370 years, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived fine. Their needs were met in Egypt. They remembered Joseph, the Bible said. The Pharaohs remembered Joseph. Joseph, by the anointing and blessing of God, made the Pharaoh of Egypt the wealthiest man in the earth. And so they remembered this. They remembered where their blessing came from. They were empowered to prosper until this fool got into office. And he began to come down on them and he cursed them. And he shouldn't ought have done it. He had cursed them until he was cursed and doomed. And it wasn't because God got up some morning and said, you know what, I just can't stand that smart aleck down there in Cairo. I don't like him a bit. I think I'll squish him like a bug. Who's he think he is anyway? No, that's not God's way. He's not that way. But he had attacked the seed of Abraham. They did not know how to be delivered from a national enemy like that. They didn't know what their covenant was. They'd lost sight of it. They had lived well under Egyptian rule. They didn't know how to believe God like that. Abraham had never been faced with anything like that. That never had been handed down. The only way they knew God was El Shaddai. And last night we found out that God said, I'm going to manifest myself as Jehovah. You're going to see my power. Well, he didn't attack Egypt because he didn't like Egyptians. He kept telling them,
over and over and over, let them go.
And then finally he told him, he said, it's going to be your firstborn for mine. Now that's a covenant phrase, and if you don't know covenant talk, you miss that. Anybody that is a covenant child of a family receives exactly the same birthright as the firstborn of that family. You're never treated like a stepchild because you're not born of that mother. You're chosen and born into that family of covenant blood. So you're considered firstborn. Did you know God doesn't have any grandchildren? We're all firstborn. Jesus, the firstborn from the dead. Hallelujah. And you're joint heir with the firstborn. So you're firstborn too. Amen. Oh, that'll be enough right there to thrill you out of your socks. Well, Pharaoh was doomed. He was doomed. He had cursed God's family. He was doomed. It wasn't because God didn't like him. He had to stop him. And you follow that all down through the Bible. Now, there are things in our English translation, particularly the King James translation, that misunderstand that. Down through the years, so much religion had gotten into the thing, and no understanding of covenant relationship has caused some problems in translation. And we're reading here in the third chapter of the book of Galatians, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now notice that. Let's use our definitions here. And let's unravel some Bible talk here for a moment. I think this will really thrill. Christ has redeemed us from the empowering to fail of the law, being made an empowered to fail for us. Did you catch on now? To curse is to be empowered to fail. He took our being empowered to fail on himself. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the empowering to prosper of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That covenant power from God to prosper might come on the Gentiles. To prosper how? First of all, to prosper spiritually. You couldn't prosper spiritually on your own. You had to be in union with God to be born again. I'm always amazed when I read that scripture that Jesus, talked about, said, it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And everybody gets all upset about that. But he said, but with God all things are possible. You're not going to get into heaven without God, rich or poor. You can't do it. There's no way. You're going to have God, brother. You were not empowered to get into heaven. You couldn't get there from here, could you? No. But covenanted to him with, you now have his power. He is certainly empowered to live in heaven. He can not only live in heaven, he can come here if he wants. He can make the distance. Well, with him, we can make the distance. See? We have now been empowered to prosper spiritually. We've been empowered to prosper mentally. The Bible says we have been given the mind of Christ. We are empowered to prosper financially. The world has a system of financial prosperity that gets instead of gives. You cannot find the phrase in the New Testament to make a living. It isn't there. The Word says, let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands that which is good in order that he may have to give to him that needs. Our work is for seeds. Oh, but Brother Copeland, I'm on a fixed income. Well, who fixed it? You may work and earn your salary, but your salary should never be your income. Your salary should be the seed that brings about your income. Amen? That is the covenant way to make it. I live, or in other words, I give to live. I don't just live off my salary. Well, I give as I can, Brother Copeland. I don't. I give first and live as I can. And when I started that, I have to tell you, brother, I gave and almost didn't live because I didn't have anything left. But I put the giving first. I did that over 20 years ago. And I'll tell you what, brother, don't come tell me it don't work. Are you kidding?
Well, it works for you because you're a preacher.
I know preachers everywhere it ain't working for. Brokest bunch in town's a bunch of bad-mouthed preachers. Isn't that right? Well, dear Lord, when you put the giving first, it's seed, plant, and harvest. You don't run out there the next morning and say, I didn't get any crop. I left that seed out there all night long. I did that one time, that little boy, my dad. I planted the watermelon seed out behind our house. And that vine got up. Boy, the vine looked good. You know, it was a good-looking watermelon vine. I just knew I'm going to have me a watermelon here for long. And there's a little old bud of a watermelon, you know, come up out there on that vine about the biggest end of my finger there. And, man, I couldn't stand it. I went out there and checked that watermelon every day. You know, and if you look at it every day, the thing don't look like it's growing. And I check it. It finally got up, you know, about as big as a golf ball. And I'm wanting to eat this thing. And it won't come on. Well, I came home from school one day, and I walked out there and raised that vine. And I want you to know there's a watermelon under that vine that big. My daddy had gone and bought one, see, and stuck it under that vine. I mean, I like to have heart failure. I raised that vine up. I mean, I shouted. I ran in circles. When got my daddy and drug him out there. We ate the watermelon before I finally found out what he'd done. Made me mad. I thought that was my watermelon. I don't know why I was stupid enough to think it went from that size to that size overnight. But we've got Christians trying to get that to happen all the time. I gave two little offerings at the church, Brother Copeland, and somehow or another God hadn't paid my car off yet. Just keep planting, keep watering. Keep planting, keep watering. The harvest will come. The harvest will come. Don't be like the fellow that said to say, I thought you were going to go back to medical school. Well, I was. But by the time I got through with everything that I'd planned to do, it'd take me 10 years. And in 10 years, I'll be 40 years old. He said, how old will you be in 10 years if you don't go? Don't be like that guy. Well, Brother Copeland, I mean, if I did that like you're saying, I mean, I'd be giving all the time. And dear Lord, you know, I'll be 50 years old next month. Well, my Lord, you spent 50 years not doing it. Now you know what it's like. Spend the next 50 doing it. Amen. All right. Christ has redeemed us from being empowered to fail of the law being made a curse for us, that the empowering to prosper of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now notice the next verse. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. So that dear little woman, that day in that synagogue, Jesus walked in there and looked at her and said, why, lady, you're loosed from that infirmity. She'd been loosed from it ever since God walked in blood with Abram that night. She didn't know it. 18 years, and these people had never told her that she was covenant provided for. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, your traditions make the word of God of no effect. Your tradition, the way you wash your hands, the way you do all this, the way you do all that. He said, you've made your covenant not have any effect to it. I like what God said to Abram. He promised him he would empower him to prosper. And then he said, through you. Now listen to this. Oh, this just turns me on. Through you, I will bless all the nations. Not just one nation. Through you, I will empower all the nations to prosper. How? By giving Jesus. by making covenant for the nations to make Jesus and receive Him Lord of their lives, empowering them to prosper. Now, can you imagine how terrible it must have for so long fallen on the ears of God when we would stand up and say, to be blessed is not for us today, when it's covenanted in blood? Same as the little woman bowed over me. She didn't know she was loose from that infirmity. You didn't know you was loose from all those debts. Did you know that's one of the things about covenant? If you enter into covenant with someone, you don't just get their assets, you get their debts. God got your debts. Not just your spiritual debt to sin. It's not just that. I mean, all your debts! If you only knew that you could go before God and lay all those payment books and everything else up there on your desk and say, now, Lord, now look at this. Forgive me for getting into this mess, but here it is. Here's all these debts. Dear God, I just found out in my covenant relationship with you, I'm out of debt. No use in me having to be weighted down like this all the rest of my life. Every time I want to give, I got to go pay the bank 14% and ask five different people if I can give a little penance to my church. Now, maybe some of you that doesn't bother, but that bothers me. I don't like that. God blesses me with money. I don't want to go ask the bank what I can do with it. Amen? Amen. Oh, you don't go be a fool and go write a bunch of checks that you don't have money to cover and say, I'm in covenant with God. He's going to cover all these checks. You just wait and see if He does. That's fraudulent. He's not going to cover your fraud. Oh, He might do it once because you're stupid. But you're not going to be able to live by writing bum checks. I can tell you that right now. There's been guys that tried. I know a preacher that went to jail for it. I visited him in jail. They come out and got him. And he was wondering why faith didn't work. I said, I'll tell you why it didn't. You swore when you took out your bank account and were given the privilege of writing a check that the money would be there when you wrote the check. Now, I'll tell you how we did it in my household. We wrote the checks all right. I got out all the things there and wrote checks for all the money that I owed. It's more like this, you know. A bunch of stacks and piles of it. Wrote all of those out, and I laid them all up on top of the desk here and laid my hands on them and declared them paid because I believe God I'm out of debt in the name of Jesus. And then I just opened the desk drawer and scooted them all over in the drawer. Shut that drawer, considered it done. And every time the time came, I pulled that drawer open. And when the money was there, I mailed that check. 11 months later, I didn't have any debts. Amen? Now you can do the same thing. You may not have any idea what it's like to not have anybody threatening you in the mail. It's a joy to go to the mailbox. I used to hate the thing. I thought the mailman was my enemy. You know? All right. Now, where's the time going? Phew. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. Well, I'm going to have to jump track here a little bit, and I'll go back to that. I can't stand it. I just can't. These two verses in my heart and mind are connected together, and I just have to jump track and go over here and read this. In the 28th verse, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I want you to notice something. Here's what thrills me so. Did you notice when he said over here, And he did not say to seeds as of many. In other words, he said not plural, but one seed, which is Christ. Did you notice over here it says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? And it's just the singular talking about you as it was talking about Jesus. That means this covenant will work for you just the same in the name of Jesus. While you're on earth, he'll hear you pray just as well as he heard Jesus when he prayed. And just the same as he said, this is my beloved son, you hear him. He's saying the same thing before you. Every time you rise up with the full armor of God on, God Almighty says to Mr. Devil, that's my beloved son. And you better listen to what he's got to say. Hallelujah! Woo! Glory be to God. Oh, yeah. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more promise. God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Now, go over to the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Dear Lord, the promise of Abraham has come on the Gentiles. Empowering to prosper of Abraham has come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Lord, man. Amen. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth, and all of these empowerings to prosper shall come on thee. Does it do you good to read it like that? It really talks to me when I do that. And overtake thee. Have you had any overtaking blessings lately? I dare say most of you have never had one. Where it just ran you down and took you. I came home from a meeting. While I was on the meeting, a man gave me a brand new Mercedes car. Now, I wouldn't have paid that kind of money for a car if I'd had it to pay it with. I really didn't care. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm a big fool as anybody. I like to drive a Mercedes, dear Lord. But I didn't have any personal desire for that kind of car. And I think it's fine to be blessed and prospered, but when I get a hold of any money, I put it in the gospel, man, you know, and that's just the way we live. And so I just was kind of, you know, over it. And I said, Lord, is there something you want me to sell, put the money? No, he said, who told you to sell it? I said, well, you know, I'm just asking. He said, no, didn't you promise me that anybody that gave into your ministry and earmarked that giving for a particular thing, that you'd do that with it and never do anything else with it? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, the man gave you the car to drive. He said, be a dishonor to him to not drive it. I said, well, I sure don't want to dishonor anybody. Amen. You know, I was upset. I knew what a lot of people were going to say about me driving down the road in that kind of car. And I got home from that meeting, and there was another one in my driveway. And I thought, ha, ha, ha. Listen, but I still don't want to dishonor anybody now, you know. I said, Lord, what's going on here? I didn't ask you for one of these, much less two. And I'm catching enough flack as it is now without having to go outside, you know, and take pick on... Which one of these things I'm going to drive? Dear God, what a glorious problem. I said, what's happening here? And he led me back to this verse. He said, over all these years, he said, do you know, in your own mind, do you know how many automobiles you've given away? I said, no. I never stopped to count. I asked God years ago to let me do that kind of thing. I enjoy that. Over a period of time, and there were several cars, and Kelly thought of several more, and Gloria thought of several more, and I don't know, it all figured up to be 14, 15 cars, 3, 4, 5 trucks, and 7 airplanes, and, you know, just over a period of time, just out of just joy obeying God and just giving, you know, making a life out of giving. And the Lord said, I want you to know I appreciate this kind of And he said, your harvest has come in.
Glory to God. My cars was worth more than my house. It sat out there in front of my house. You know, oh, dear God.
Well, those were overtaking blessings. I was empowered to prosper in that area. And I wasn't trying to prosper in that area. God just empowered me to prosper. And what had happened here, the one particular thing was that a man that his business, he's in automobile business, and his car business was just on the junk heap. And he got a hold of the word of faith and began to stand on the word of God. And God put his business back together for him, and he appreciated it. And he blessed me, and I appreciated it. And all the three of us, he and I and God, all three had a good time, you know, in what we were doing. Now, you're the blessed. You're empowered to prosper. Somebody says, I don't like that prosperity message. Ooh, don't say that. It's all right if you don't like me, but don't say anything about the message. Oh, no, don't say that. It's really not all right that you don't like me. But you don't have to agree with me. Amen. You should. No, don't say you don't like that message. No. Don't say you don't like the message of faith. That's the covenant message of God. Don't say you don't like the message of prosperity. That's the covenant message of God. Don't say you don't like the message of discipleship. That's the covenant message of God. Ooh, don't say you don't like the message of the latter rain. That's the covenant message of God. You may not like some of the silly stuff we've stuck in it, but we didn't do it mean-like. We did it because it didn't have any better sense. Amen. Don't put us down. Build us up and pray for us. And God will cause His prosperity to come on His word. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you hear me? Can you hear what I'm talking about? This is not the message of the white church. This is not the message of the black church. This is not the message of the Indian church. This is not the message of the Spanish church. My God, brother, this is the message of God to the church. Hallelujah. To the church. Amen. No man, no woman, no child that makes a decision to walk by the covenant of Almighty God, be he of any color. I mean, I don't care where he comes from. I don't care where he was born. I don't care who his parents were. That covenant will cause you to rise to the surface. I'm telling you, Jesus said, he that doeth truth will come to the light, and it will be made known that his deeds are wrought in God. You're just like a cork. I tell you, the tiniest little bittiest cork, the tiniest little bittiest one taken to the bottom of the deepest lake in town. You turn it loose, it goes right to the top. Just goes right to the top. And you begin to act on God's word, and you're going to go right to the top. And everybody's fighting you, trying to keep you down, and the devil's trying to get, but you just go, you just go right on to the top. And there you are. You just blob up out there one of these days. There you are. Just me and Jesus. Amen. Yeah, glory to God. I'm waiting for somebody to write the story of the triumph of the black people in this nation. That story's never been told yet. There's a great triumph that has taken place in this country. One of the major miracles of all time. People, several centuries ago, with a covenant background, understood the covenant, came from a continent heavily, heavily saturated with covenant practice. That's the reason there's so many miracles in the continent of Africa even today. You go over and preach blood covenant, brother, they take it and run with it because they understand what you're talking about. And people brought into this country under the most terrible of circumstances. Somebody preached the gospel to them. And they heard more than their teacher was telling them. They heard a covenant relationship with Almighty God, and they locked into it. And the greatest triumph in the history of this nation is that prayer by the saints of Almighty God that held God to His promises
in the midst of hell on earth and kept the blood from running ankle deep in this country and kept it together. And I present to you tonight the fact that the prayer of the saints of God that were put into slavery in this country years ago, that stood on their covenant rights with God Almighty, not only has brought victory to the black man, and a growing victory that is about to explode in the earth, because the entire earth today is geared to hear what the black man has to say. And what he says about Jesus in this hour is going to turn into the greatest revival that has ever hit the face of the earth. And the last shall truly be first in this day and hour. There's only one little thing right now that's taking place throughout the body of Christ. Just one little thing that has to happen. Pastors, I want you to pick up on it. Individuals, I want you to pick up on that. See, in God's time, 1986, almost 1987, is almost intermingled with 1786 and 1686 and 1586. It's just so, in God, there's no time. And the sin that was committed to the black man, as far as the church is concerned, the church has never reached out to the black man and asked for forgiveness. And that needs to be done. That needs to be done. And I'm going to do it everywhere I get the chance. I'm asking every one of you tonight, for the sin of my great-grandfathers, forgive me, please. I don't want that riding on my shoulder. But you and I, I'll tell you, you and I are, we're on the brink of the mightiest covenant explosion of the grand finale of God as He brings to maturity and climax the ages. Hallelujah. And you and I got a ringside seat, brother. We're going to see the whole thing come to pass. The body of Christ is coming together. The black church and the white church and the brown church and all the yellow man and the red man, we're all coming together. The Baptist church, the Pentecostal church, the Catholic, we're flowing together. Hallelujah to God Almighty. We're the covenant church. We're the covenant church. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus forevermore. Hallelujah. Well, get up and shout amen, somebody. Let the miracle happen. In the name of Jesus, let it happen. Hallelujah.